Hey, you want that to go?
Now time for quick takeouts on stories that we're following all this week. Louise Story is out sick today, but our good friend Daniel Gross is joining us for giving us all the business news. Dan is senior editor at Newsweek. Good morning.
Morning.
As we've been reporting all morning, the Dow Jones Industrial Average hit 10,200 points. That's a one-year high for it, and we're wondering what exactly does this mean? As I asked earlier, is this an economic indicator or just a Wall Street indicator?
Well, first it means we could all get our Dow 10,000 hats from 1999 back out.
So, I've got mine.
We got that working for us.
Dan, you're the only one of the three of us that has one of those.
Two things. One, we are seeing profits coming in better than expected, in large part because companies were extremely aggressive and have been very smart about cutting costs. So that makes investors happy. A second point is that it's tempting to look at this and say, hey, we have really high unemployment. The U.S. consumer, which accounts for so much economic activity, is weak. How could the Dow be at this level and doing so well when the underlying U.S. consumer is doing poorly? And the answer is that when you look at large American companies, the IBMs, GEs, Coca-Colas, they are not the barometers of the domestic economy that they used to be. They're getting 60, 70% of their sales from overseas,
right,
and they're getting pretty much all of their growth from overseas. GM is selling as many cars in China today as it is in the U.S. So the Dow today is as much a sort of gauge of how the global economy is doing, how that 75% of the world economy that is outside the U.S. is doing. And that's actually doing quite well.
So, Dan, when we talk about businesses cutting costs, a lot of times what they're talking about is cutting labor costs. They're cutting people's jobs.
Most of the time, that's what they're talking about.
I don't think we can ask the question enough. When are we going to get an economic indicator that has some kind of relief for the unemployed, for the people in their own kitchens?
Well, we had last Friday that unemployment number, their unemployment rate topped 10%. We saw job losses again, which we've seen for, I think, 23 straight months.
Yeah.
I am in the camp that we will have job creation sooner rather than later, and by sooner, probably in the first quarter of 2010. When you look at the data on productivity, companies are forcing existing employees to do so much more. They've been reluctant to hire because they don't believe this recovery is real. But you can't get those kind of productivity gains quarter after quarter. If we continue to have growth, as we've had, and demand continues to rise, as it has been rising, I think it's inevitable that we will start to get job growth.
Maybe relief after the holidays.
Let's put it on a hat. Dan, jobs in 2010, that's a hat we should make for you?
Oh, yeah.
Dan,
I didn't say jobs in February 2010.
All right.
You can think of not just a hat, but like a sweatshirt.
Yeah, right. Dan Gross is the senior editor at Newsweek magazine. Thanks, Dan.
And our fashion contributor, Dan Gross. Also, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, he's a pretty high fashion sports contributor here in the studio. So, football last night, Monday night game on ESPN. Suddenly, the Monday night football game is a must-watch sporting event.
It's a big deal. And last night, the Denver Broncos lost 28-10 to the world champions Pittsburgh Steelers. And there's two ways to look at this game. And there's a movement. One is around plain language. There's a movement in government agencies around the country to replace legalese with plain language, which is like the common talk that everyday people can understand. Well, there's also a plain football talk, and that's what the Steelers speak.
Yeah.
Their footballs are equivalent to the Yankees. They've won more Super Bowls than anyone else, but somehow people still love the Steelers. They don't love the Yankees. The Steelers established a running game last night. Rashard Mendenhall had 15... He had 155 yards on 22 carries.
Yeah, that was huge.
And they had an incredible passing game behind Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, plain speaking, I mean, it delivered some serious reality to these blissed out Broncos fans who thought that, like, oh my goodness, we're going all the way.
It's true. And then the other way you can look at this game is around, this is the time in the season when you find out who teams that know how to win and teams that know how to lose. And you saw this with the Giants this week because they figured out how to lose in a really new way. You saw this with
four
the Colts.
Times in
and
a row.
Exactly. You saw this with the Colts and with the Saints when they figured out how to win in a really unusual way. With the Broncos, they're at a point in the season where they're developing their identity, and their identity is a little questioned because their defense is good, but their offense is suspect.
Is it going to be rickety? I can't let you go without asking about Elizabeth Lambert, that apparently is the biggest video story in the world. She's a University of New Mexico soccer player. player suspended indefinitely for engaging in unsportsmanlike conduct, yanking an opponent player to the ground, yanking her hair, whacking her. You know, this has like gotten a visibility all over the United States, all over the world.
There's two things I want to say.
Double standard?
Well, you know, it's soccer is a sport where everything is just glaringly out there. So it reminds me of Zidane in the World Cup a couple of years ago with the French player who headbutted the opposing Italian player. So everything that happens on the soccer field, you're going to see. So
but
you can't get away with
woman,
anything.
If it's a woman, it's like a double standard, maybe?
I don't, you know, I think that people like to think that women are like nicer in sports, but actually, I think they're just as competitive as men. And so
athletes. It's a physical contest.
Precisely.
Come on.
Precisely.
You shouldn't be surprised.
So we shouldn't be surprised when things just boil
not
over
that
a little
it's good.
Bit. And it's not good at all. I think there's Brandon Spikes for the University of Florida, the linebacker, who gouged the eye of a Georgia player. Yeah. But, you know, we don't talk about that as much.
Though. It's getting a lot
Let's
of attention.
Let's not talk about that.
Takeaway sports contributor Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Thanks.
Hey,
so
good morning.
You may recall yesterday, Luis' story gave us what sounded like really fantastic investment advice. Bankers getting paid in bank stock.
For some of their executives, they gave them $5 million expected value of stock and options. Now, those same stock and options are worth $12 million.
Wow. Well, this windfall for bank executives gave our listener Marty an idea.
Let them get their bonuses, but tax them at 70% plus because the government needs that money, and why shouldn't both ends benefit?
Marty's 70% tax bracket. We love your ideas, and we want you to keep them coming at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. And Ibrahim, we should ask listeners about Elizabeth Lambert. You think it's worth all this attention?
It definitely should be asked without
a
question.
Well, go ahead, ask it.
Well, what do you guys think? Should we put so much attention on this woman, Elizabeth Lambert?
877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.